Christmas. Is the mic on?
Episode 71, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? You know, I have to say this. Being a comedian for decades now, I really feel like I'm part of a community. Like, I really feel like I have all these friends. And you realize it at certain times, like this past Tuesday at the Improv, we were memorializing Bud Friedman, who was the founder of the Improvs. And everybody flew from all over the world to pay tribute to this man that created this life for us. There weren't comedy clubs before the Improv. Comics were working strip joints. They were working little bars. But to have like a real comedy club, like the Improv and the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store, the Funny Bones, this was unheard of. And this guy created this path for us. And to see all these people that I've worked with through the years, I really felt like I was a part of something. In fact, I felt a part of something twice this week because we had the Teen Wolf movie premiere, and I felt such love. I thought it was so cool. I'm looking at my guest. She's you can talk. You can chime in and go, yeah, whatever.
I'm excited for you.
And I saw you Tuesday at the Improv, but I want to tell you a story. And I'll introduce my guest in a second. There was somebody that came up to me. It's really interesting who comes up to who at these events. And I was sitting there at the entrance, and a guy came up to me with a mask on and just looked like a regular dude. And he goes, "Hey, Orny, how you doing?" And I said, "Good, good, good." And he didn't move. And it looked like people were trying to get to him. And so I said, "I'm sorry. I said, I don't recognize you with the mask on." And he pulled it down, and it was Adam Sandler. And what you have to understand is Adam was at this event, spoke at the event with Judd Apatow, and he was coming down the hall. And believe me, a guy like that, everybody is trying to get to say hi or, "Hey, remember," like everybody has a story. "Hey, remember 15 years ago?" But trust me, they don't want to hear the story. They don't give a shit. Okay? He doesn't care. He just wants to get to the car. He paid his tribute. But he actually stopped and he took his mask down. And what you have to understand is, and I got emotional. And I'm still like sort of emotional. I wish I had recorded it that day because I really felt like I was a part of something. But Adam is a guy that I played basketball with at Gary Shandling's house when Gary was alive. And Adam is a guy that I all this time thought didn't like me. And even though he and Judd put me in a film, Funny People, for a scene, I felt like he did not like me because, and I wouldn't disagree or I wouldn't blame him because when we were playing basketball, this goes back to a period in my life in my 30s when I really felt like I had to prove something. And I felt like I really had to prove something to the people that were ahead of me. And Adam has always been ahead of me. And Adam is a guy that I really enjoy his work. And I am in awe of his charisma and likability. I've never told him this. I don't think I've spoken publicly about this, but he was on Saturday Night Live and he did the Hanukkah song. And I watched him walk out and I watched this maybe 20, 30, 50 times in a row, watching his charisma and going, "Look how he hooks him before he even hits the microphone." And that's God-given. And I always wish I had that charisma. And when we were playing basketball, I would play him extra hard. I would give him shit. I would talk crap. I was like a young punk kid trying to take down the guy who's done well. And if I'm to be honest with myself, I was a guy that was trying to prove something and was acting out. And I always felt Adam didn't like me because of this, and I would have understood. And he stopped. So we're now back at the Improv. He stopped in the hall, pulled down his mask, and he said, he wasn't stopping for other people that I saw. He said, "Orny." I said, "Oh, Adam." He goes, "You look good." I said, "You look good too." And he goes, "How you doing?" I go, "Great, you?" And he goes, "Good." And he gave me a hug. He gave me a hug.
That's what I love about comedy.
I felt, look in my eyes. I felt such love. I felt acceptance. I felt like, here's a guy that could be angry at me. Here's a guy that could just walk by me and go, "Screw him. He never achieved anything. He didn't achieve what I've achieved. He didn't get there." But I felt like he respects me. And I felt a part of something. And Adam, I can't thank you enough. Like it lifted my spirits. And after he left, another person came right up to me, who's my guest on the podcast today, Tiffany Haddish. I want to welcome Emmy Award-winning, Grammy Award-winning Tiffany Haddish and good friend. Welcome to What's Wrong with Orny Adams, episode 71. What's it like to win that stuff?
It's nice. It's really nice.
Does it feel like a hug from Adam Sandler?
It feels like a hug from Adam, from Oprah, from... well, from Queen Latifah.
What's a hug from Oprah like?
A hug from Oprah is like a warm blanket of success and coconut oil.
She wears coconut oil.
I don't know.
That's breaking news.
That's what I smelled.
Did you?
I smelled coconut oil and hibiscus flowers.
Wow. You know what? That's another woman that I really admire and enjoy her interviewing skills.
She's excellent.
She's unbelievable. In fact, she had an interview. I don't know who it was. And I watched it and I said, this should be studied. There are certain people. Howard Stern's one of them. He knows how to interview people and really get into them. In fact, maybe I'm that good because this is not the first time, not the second time, the third time Tiffany has been up here to record the podcast. The first time she showed up on Sunday thinking it was Monday and said, I'm ready to record. I said, we're doing it tomorrow. And Tiffany said, isn't it Monday?
No, that was my bad.
Yeah. And then
I was feeling good after a stretching class.
And then what happened the second time?
And then the second time, I showed up, but she wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What do you mean she wasn't ready?
She wasn't ready. Mm. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
We had to do over.
Yeah, we recorded it. Now, he wasn't ready either. And full disclosure, we had a technical glitch here, and Tiffany's mic wasn't plugged in. These are XLR cables. They're not supposed to come out. Somehow it came out. So I had to have two sound engineers take sound from the different video cameras and then my mic and mix it. And it sounded pretty good. I was so excited I got it done. And then I sent it to you. You were very anxious about that. Why were you so anxious about listening to that?
Because episode? I just wanted to make sure that it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good talk, wasn't it?
It was a great conversation, but we always have great conversations.
We always do. And what happens is, I think when you do these podcasts, you forget sometimes that you're doing a podcast and you're having a conversation and you say things that maybe you shouldn't have said or your reps think you shouldn't have said. And so we had to take some, but both of us said stuff we wanted taken out. And then it got to the point where we're like, let's just do this again.
Yeah, let's just do over.
Yeah.
Let's do a do over.
Right. And so, great. So well, I confirm you for today on Sunday, and then I go to confirm you this morning, and now your texts are green. And I'm going, oh, shit, she blocked me.
No.
What did I do to get blocked?
Did not block you. See, let me tell you, I just came back from Sundance, okay, this morning. But on Sunday, I decided I would get in the jacuzzi because I had heard all these people, and when I say people, I mean people with money, talk about how nice it is to get in a jacuzzi in the snow.
Wow.
And that it's like, it's amazing, right? So I'm like, oh, I should try this. I'm going to try it. And you know, I got some money.
Yeah.
Let me try
the
jacuzzi in the snow.
What day is this?
This is on Sunday.
Okay, this is after we texted.
Yeah, this is after we texted.
This is late because we were texting at 9 p.m. So.
Uh-huh. So this is like 10. Literally.
Doing a little forensics. I'm the last person you texted?
So, no, you're not. But you are close to the last person I texted.
Okay.
And I had texted you right before I had gotten a jacuzzi. I put the phone in my robe. I texted like three more people. And then I put it back in my robe. And then walked down to the jacuzzi. And then I put my robe on this hook, like a coat rack, right?
Yeah.
So it's on the coat rack, and I'm in a jacuzzi, and it's cold, you guys. It's like 20 degrees. Okay, maybe it was 30.
So it's not even a great experience.
It's cold outside, but inside the jacuzzi, it feels so good.
Right.
And it's like the hot and the cold, and it feels nice. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a dipping pool over on the other side, like a tub that you can like dunk in. It's cold, like super cold water. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I was challenging everybody in the jacuzzi to jump in the soaking tub or whatever. So jumped in, I went in, and then the next person went in, the next person went in, and we were laughing, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And then the wind started to blow, and it blew my robe and the towels on the rack into the jacuzzi.
Oh, God. Really?
And so we hurried up and pulled it out. And I had weed in there, but the weed was in a tube, so I was good. The weed was safe. The weed was safe, right? So because it was in a plastic tube. My lighter was shit. My lighter got wet, right? And so put everything out of the jacuzzi. I thought the phone was still in the pocket.
Right.
And then my friend's checking all the pockets and everything.
Yeah.
And nothing's coming. Like, he's like, I can't find the phone. I can't find the phone. I'm like, oh, there it is right there. And I'm thinking that I see the phone. But actually what I saw was a hook from the coat rack because it was dark at this time.
Yeah.
And so 10 minutes go by. And I go, oh, let me get my phone and record me getting back in the...
So you didn't find out immediately.
And couldn't find the phone over there. And then we looking all around.
Are you freaking out like one of these moms that loses their moms in the supermarket? That's what I do when I lose like a phone. I'm like...
Freaking out like you lost a kid?
Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah.
Where's the phone?
I'm like Liam Neeson. I'm like, give me back my phone!
No, I wasn't freaking out, but I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? And then, so we're looking all around the jacuzzi, and then... I take a few steps in the jacuzzi and I feel something under my foot.
You stepped on it.
And I said, oh, there's my phone. And I pick it up and it's still on. The screen is still on. I'm like, cool.
I can tell you what
this
you did.
This is an Apple water resistant phone.
Yeah.
I put it in a towel, in a dry towel.
Yeah.
Enjoy my jacuzzi experience. Go into the sauna. Take the phone with me in the sauna. Play music from the YouTube. Play the music from the YouTube. Right? Get up to my room.
Mm-hmm.
Plug the phone up. It's dead.
But why? Why do you still have a dead phone and it's Tuesday? You're Tiffany Haddish. Somebody on your team, one of the 18 people that called me and said, don't put out that episode you recorded, could call the Apple store.
It was only one person that called you.
She was a little extreme, to be honest with you. You were like, I just want to cut this sentence and this. And then she's like, we want to cut 40 out of the 42 minutes of this podcast.
It was 10 minutes out of an hour and 48.
All right. So are you like me when this happens and like my phone goes into the hot tub? I would think, you know what? Happiness is for other people. Experiences like the hot tub and the... It's not for me. I'm not supposed to enjoy life like these other people. I see people enjoying their life. I go, that's not for me. That's for them.
I still enjoyed myself, bro. Mm. And I think I might have enjoyed myself even more so because I didn't have a phone the rest of Sunday.
That's cool.
All Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a phone right now. Yep. But when I leave from here, I'll have a phone.
But like, don't you think... This is what I was thinking. I'm like, what happened? Is Tiffany okay? Like, where is she? I was concerned. I almost went on TMZ to make sure. And then, like, don't you think, oh my God, Orny is probably concerned about me. Like, shouldn't I call him, say I'm still going to be there?
I was definitely thinking that. And I was trying to figure out how am I going to call
Orny? You have that woman that called and yelled at me for 10 minutes.
But I couldn't get a hold of her either.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because I don't know her
number.
But don't
you have, like, a computer that you can text?
I didn't have it with me.
Okay.
And I just landed. And I was like, well, I'm going to see him in a little bit.
Oh, you landed today?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I thought you came back yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody's number. Shit, I'm lucky I made it to the damn airport on time.
Yeah, lucky you made it here.
That part.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Glad I woke up. Shit.
Shit. Man. Tiffany Haddish, comedian, actress.
Comedian, actor, just had his premiere for Teen Wolf. Tell me all about it, man. What was that like?
You know, again, I got emotional.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me. Because this is like, is this your first big premiere for a movie?
Yes, this is my first movie, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Funny People for a scene that sort of got edited down to a montage of me floating across the screen, you know, it's funny because I got Funny People because Judd and Adam Sandler, Judd Apatow, they knew I was a shit talk on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. So they hired me to talk shit to, who's that little pudgy actor. What's his name? Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah. They're like, they didn't tell Jonah, like, get in his face and talk shit. And this guy didn't care, but it was cool. So I wasn't obviously invited to that, but this to me, it's a movie, but you know, I'm old school. If it's not in a theater, it doesn't feel like a movie. It's a streaming movie. There should be a different category.
But was there a red carpet?
There was a red carpet.
There were photographers?
A ton. And I got to tell you something. I don't know what I'm doing. I start going like this. I'm pointing at people. Like, these other people,
that's fun.
They showed up. One guy showed up looking like a detective Clouseau or something. then other people, they're so dressed up and glammed up. And then I'm just in a nice suit. And I took his, you know, I don't know where to look and how to smile. Like, they're really, the women know where to put their hips and the guys are doing things. And then what's interesting is who wants to take a picture with you? But here's the big deal. I texted you a picture from the red carpet of what?
Of
the movie poster.
Yes, that was, that was from the red carpet? Yeah. I thought it was from a bus stop.
But I'm in the movie poster.
I know you're in the movie poster. I saw you in the movie poster when I left from here. I was like, look at that. He was talking about, I'm never in a movie poster, blah, blah, blah. I want to be in a poster. And then, bam, you're in a poster.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the story because I almost, not quit the show, but would have been fired over the show because I wasn't included in the promotional package for one of the seasons. And it's a really interesting story on what to do if you think you're going to lose your temper and how to save yourself.
So wait. So you got upset because you weren't included in the promotional package.
Yes.
And what did you do?
I'm going to tell the story when I have Jeff Davis, the creator of the show, on. But instead of going and yelling.
You teased with that.
Yeah, I did tease with that. Like,
if I ever get that guy on, what if you never get him on?
He said, I texted him today. I got to tell you something. You would not believe the people that now are, you know, have committed to coming on this podcast.
Because your podcast is good, bro.
Thank you. So he said, I'd like to, I said, we were talking about something specifically, you know, the reviews are coming out and people can be not so nice. They can, and he takes it very personally. And I don't want to disclose too much that we've texted back and forth, but I said, come on the podcast and talk about it. And he said, I'd love to. Mm-hmm. And in the past, he wasn't so open to it, but now he is. So I'm going to tell him the story about how I almost really wanted to get into his face and scream at him, but I did something else.
What did you do?
I prevented myself from by doing another activity. And,
did you do jumping jacks?
Yeah, might as well do like 300 push-ups until I threw up. But here's the moral of the story for the people, because they're, you know, I was dealing with somebody recently in business that yelled at me and I'm no longer working with them. Mm-hmm. If you feel that, like, you got to take your ego and emotion out of this stuff. And what you need to do is remove yourself and save your work, because I did 4 more seasons and now a movie, and we're probably going to do 2 more movies because this will be a hit.
Yes, it will.
So, you know, but the red car, they asked me, and then we're going to talk to you about you in a second.
I'm enjoying this because I'm learning.
She ready? You she flipped ready. It around. The last one, you did all the talking and got in trouble. Now you're like, I'm gonna ask him questions.
I asked you questions then too.
He's an ego. So they asked me on the red carpet, they said, what is it like to be part of this Teen Wolf experience? And I said, I got choked up because I didn't realize how big a part of my life this has been since 2012. And I said, you know, I have my whole life as a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, like this weekend I was in Chicago, sold out shows. Mm-hmm. A lot of people came to see me, paid to see me.
See?
Have seen me every year since 2010 at this venue, bring new people. So I have that whole life. But to be part of something this big, Teen Wolf, to be a small part of something so great, like, it's cool. It's not my project. I show up, I say the lines they tell me to say, and it's been a blessing. And I said that, and I was like, I started to get emotional because I look around and I see nothing but love again. It was such a love week. And then we're talking about you. To be even more baller, I had already booked a show at the Improv. I'm kind of like you. I booked it 2 months ago. Adam Carolla, who I've done his podcast several times, and I think he'll probably come up here at some point, was doing a show, and it was me and Jay Moore and stuff like that. And so I left the premiere. Once the lights went down, I waited until my first line came out and I got a laugh. I ducked out, got into my car. You know, they had a car for a big deal. Like, sent a car for Coach. Mm-hmm. Got into my car, went to the Improv, did a show with Tim Dillon and people like that. And in the suit.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and I got photographed in 2 different places that night by professional photographers. And I went back to who else was on the show? Melissa Vigneault-Saint-Saëns from SNL. And of course, Adam Carolla. And I got back in the car and I went to the premiere.
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dope.
That's
super dope. And I love when you do a show, at least for me too, when you're like dressed up, like you just come from a carpet or just come from some event. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, whoa, this is how comedy's supposed to be. It feels good too when you're on stage dressed up, to me anyways.
Yeah, this was a good fitting. I felt good that night. Mm-hmm. And thank God I look good in the pictures. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I can look tired. I can look chubby. You know, tomorrow I could look fat. The next day I don't look fat. So I got the outfit worked. I got lucky. The pictures look good. I'm very happy. But it also reminded me of the days like Robin Williams used to leave a movie set and go do stand-up. Mm-hmm. Because like you've shot a lot of movies and it's very restrictive.
Yeah, it is restrictive because sometimes it can go, you can get to work at like 5 a.m. and don't leave till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And some days you go at 5 a.m. you get off at 2 o'clock and you're like, well, I guess I'll do a show tonight.
Right.
So.
And it's very sort of like you be here now. Mm-hmm. You eat lunch now.
Hurry up and wait.
Yeah. Stand there. Yeah. Stand there. But and so the freedom of stand up, which is why I think Robin Williams would leave movie sets and go do stand up because you can just get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times you want to say something on a set and they're like, no, just do it a lot. We don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Just we're moving on. We don't have time. No improv.
New deal.
She ready.
Yeah.
She ready.
She ready and she run her ass to the set. What did the comedy stage.
What did I read yesterday? We're doing another girls trip?
I read that too and was like, for real? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see the script.
Well, you were trending yesterday.
I was trending.
On Twitter.
I was?
Yeah, you were.
Shut up. For real?
Yeah.
For what?
For the girls trip.
Oh, for girls trip.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm like, for what? What did I do now? Like,
I would be in fear. This is what we talked about on the last podcast was this whole cancel culture and, you know, what you went through last year. And I thought, and you're still dealing with it.
You're always going to deal with somebody's going to be trying to poke at you. Always. It seems like you're not doing your job if nobody's saying anything, you know?
Right.
So, I look at it as I must be something special.
Well, you are something special. And, you know, like, you're a friend who I love. And, like, but, you know, like, when I was thinking, I want to have Tiffany on, I was like, I hope, you know, I don't want controversy. You know, like, I don't like controversy.
Yeah.
But you seem to handle it better. You seem to not be so concerned. Because I asked you last time, I said, you know, what is it like to go through, like, I don't know how to describe it without you...
Ask. What's it like to go through feeling like the whole world hates you or like you're canceled or like you'll never work again? Or like that's a feeling of uncertainty and great irritation, extreme irritation. And what do I do with irritation? I try to remove that inflammation.
Yeah.
So,
it's
you know.
Scary?
I don't know. I don't think it's scary. It's not scary. Irritating? Yeah. Scary? No, because at the end of the day, I feel like no one can cancel me but God.
But they can, right?
But they can't.
They can't. Like, okay. So
now,
even
if there was only 13 channels like it was back when I was a kid, you know, and a few cable networks, maybe they really could.
But you had to, like, you know, yesterday, so you're trending, and you know people are going to bring up that incident.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that break your heart that this is now following you?
No. No.
Is that true? Or are you just masking
something? No, it doesn't break my heart. It doesn't break my heart because it's something, you know, it's something that happened. And do I wish it wouldn't have happened? Yes. Do I wish I would have been like, I can't make it, can't do it. I don't want to do this thing. Like,
you're talking about the original.
Yeah. Whatever people are talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously it's something that I did or participated in. And maybe they're exaggerating or not properly understanding all the details of what is what, but
are you going to go on the record at some point because you did say stuff last time and say your side, or do you feel like it's not necessary?
I got a book coming.
Yeah,
I definitely got a book coming.
Did you have a feeling at the time that it was like, did you get the ick? Ugh, why am I doing this? Or
no? Well, yeah. Well, you talking about in 2014?
Yeah, is that when it was filmed?
Yeah.
Did you feel something like, I don't know, my gut's telling me this is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's important to listen to your gut. And I think it takes a couple of experiences for you to realize, hey, this is not cool. And not necessarily in that experience. I mean, maybe, man, I've written about this stuff. Mm. Like, I've written about things like this.
Where
you just, in my book, Tiffany Haddish, The Last Black Unicorn, when you get that instinct like, it's not a full body yes. Like, I had to learn about the full body yes.
Who's, you know? Is it? Did you create that expression? I've never heard of it.
I don't know. I don't know if I created it.
But I love that. That's the way.
I don't know if I created it.
That's the way I feel when I try on clothes. Like this weekend, I was trying on clothes. And if I don't put it on right away, if I go, feels like it's bunching up under the arms a little bit.
Right.
It's a no. If you have to put it on and go, I can't wait to wear this.
But that, with a project, right? Yeah. Then it'll be like, well, oh, okay. Like, but now I'm on some, in my mind, do I feel good about it? Do I feel good about it in my heart? Does my gut feel good about it? Okay.
Yeah.
This is something I can do. But if one doesn't feel like right, if it's not all in alignment,
yeah,
I don't want to do that shit. Nope. I can't. I can't show up. Like when I think, when you asked me to do your project the first time, right? Can you come on, do the podcast? I'm like, yeah, I could do it. Cause I felt good about it. Right. And we figured out a time. I ran into you like, yo, I'm going to do your podcast.
Yeah, you actually asked.
Yeah. When are we going
to
do it?
Like, you're the first guest to ask to be on that I've had on. Believe me, other people ask. I'm like, he ain't ready. They ain't ready, that person.
But we talked about it, and I told you I wanted to show up for you, and you were telling me about the first time we talked about it. You're like, yeah, people said they're going to do it. They never show up, or they don't answer my call. You know, like, and I'm like, I'm not that type of person. If I say I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And the next time I saw you, I'm like, so when can I do your show? When am I going to do it?
And then you called me on a Saturday and said, I'm coming up Monday. But then you came up Sunday the next day.
When you text me and was like, are you really going to do my show? And I'm like, let me call this fool.
Yeah.
So you can hear it in my voice. I really want to come and do your show.
Yeah.
But it has to have the full body, yes. And that's, you know, from every experience, you learn. And when they're making mistakes, making bad decisions, you should learn and not make those same decisions again. Don't make those same mistakes. So I feel like way back then, I learned a valuable lesson. Now, could that lesson have been resolved and nipped in the bud then? Probably.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to do that.
How,
you know?
So? What do you mean?
I didn't know how to, it's certain things I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to assert myself. I didn't know how to, because as a woman, especially
that's really
in comedy.
Important. Say that again.
I didn't know how to assert myself. I didn't know how to express, you know, and then even in expressing, I was ignored, you know, disregarded. And as a woman in comedy, a lot of times, you know, you're told like, look, you're not really that funny. Females aren't funny. Female comedians are just a waste of time. Just look, I know the funny. You know how to act. Just do what I tell you to do as far as acting goes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hey, I do have a sense of comedy. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
But if I didn't.
Yeah. But you're saying in regards to this project, this video, you didn't have the tools to sort of.
I didn't have the tools, the power. I didn't have the power. Wow. I was hired. I didn't have any power.
Yeah.
You know? And the only power I did have is leaving.
Right.
Or not showing up at all.
You
or saying no completely. And,
yeah.
You know,
Did you have reps at the time? Did anybody guide you?
I had an agent at the time.
And did your agent say, yeah, do this? Or was this something you were just.
I was just doing something doing for you.
Of course. Of course.
Doing something for a friend.
Yeah. And you felt
like. And it's like a little change. Hey, that's going to help pay the bills.
Yeah.
And the way it was described to me was very different than what I saw. The final product.
That's the other thing. So you went in, probably did your part, but you hadn't seen the other parts
exactly.
of the video. Exactly. Right. And you felt like you grew up, I guess we call the system, with foster care. And you felt like, you said to me that you were doing almost like a PSA.
That's what I thought. It was a PSA that was supposed to have a sense of comedy to be palpable, to teach people, hey, this is not, you know,
were you ever, because you were probably, were you ever left with people?
Definitely left with strangers. But definitely in strange people's houses.
Did they do creepy things? Were
Well, I write about this in the Tiffany Haddish Last Back in the
Film. How come I don't have a signed copy of this book we keep referencing?
Well, I don't know. Buy one and I'll sign it.
She hustling.
Support.
I'd be happy to support you.
Yeah, like in my first foster home that I was in, there were, you know, my foster grandpa did some stuff to me. Like, it's just, you.
Like what?
Like what? Oh, you want me to describe the assault?
No, don't.
Like, I did in the book.
This is your
Tiffany Haddish, The Last Black Unicorn. Foster. I was in foster care.
And this was a sexual assault or.
Well, you know, I was.
Don't say anything. I have to edit out. I don't have the budget. You're going to have to start Venmoing. I have a new policy effective immediately for all guests. I'm looking at the camera. Look at, hear me out. You get one edit per episode. After that, we're charging. There's a charge per edit. So don't say anything. But if you wrote about it in your book, it was
Well, now I guess you did there is an effective cancel culture where you like where you're very selective about what you want to say in the public.
You should be.
Very
you should feel like you're allowed to not say certain things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this thing, what we're talking about, that one incident that's out there, and people have this impression. Now, all I know is what I've read, and I assume all they know is what they've read or they've seen this video. And I'm not talking about Tiffany Haddish right now. I'm talking about in general. Mm-hmm. There's a jump to conclusion.
Yeah.
With incidents where people talk as if they were there, as if they know everything, as if they've seen more than we've seen, and they go immediately to extremes, like this person's a pedophile. It's like, you know, or this person's a racist. Well, you don't know the whole story. And that's part of the tragedy. So I wasn't there. I don't know the whole circumstances, but I know people have this impression of you now, which is unfortunate. Do you feel like when you get up on stage, what is it like to be up there knowing there's certain people in the audience that have this opinion of you?
I don't care about their opinion. They already paying my bills. They pay tickets to come to the show. They bought a ticket to come to the show, so I'm not worried about that.
It doesn't break any part of your heart knowing there's somebody out there that has what you're calling a
somebody
false impression.
Somebody out there thought I was a hoe and probably still think I'm a hoe.
I think you're a hoe.
Like, what can I do? I
can't you're not a hoe?
That. I don't care. Like, I'm not a hoe.
Now I'm going to edit that out. That's my first edit. I just like saying hoe. It makes me, you know, I consider myself very hip-hop, so.
You know.
Some
people probably think they.
Why do people think you're a hoe?
I don't know. There are people that think I've never been married, that I never could get a man to mm-hmm. care about me and love me. There are people that think that I probably have 10 kids. There's people that think all kind of random things.
Right.
I know the truth. I live in the truth. I look at myself in the mirror every day. I know the truth. And the people that really care about me and really have love for me, they know the truth.
Yeah.
And anybody that actually does the research and pay a fucking attention knows the truth.
Right. Yeah, it drives me nuts, the misunderstanding. People, you know, like I was constantly editing my Wikipedia page to the point that I got banned from editing it because they got everything wrong. It just drove me nuts. But I think when you go into this business, what you have to understand is you lose some sense of control over your identity and certainly the perception of people. So people that say this about you, what do you say? And then we can wrap it up. We'll get out of this. I want you to say as much as you can, like without getting in trouble.
But I'm not going to get in trouble. But the people that say, what do you mean? The people that have that perception of me? That's their perception. Until you get to know me, until you do your research, you won't know no better, I guess.
Are you what they are accusing you of?
I'm not that. I'm definitely not a pedophile. Because if I was, where are all the, like, come on.
Mm-hmm. That's also something that I say. I go, let's wait for some more cases.
I'm not that.
Yeah. Although if you commit an assault one time, like maybe your step-grandfather or foster grandfather did one thing to one person.
I doubt that.
But you're not.
I am not.
You look at me like I don't believe you. I'm just...
I'm not looking at you like that.
And get me out of this.
I'm waiting for the next thing, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
you started this one.
Well, because we had to sort of, you know, I it would be irresponsible if I didn't address it in some capacity. Like when you go on Howie Mandel, does he bring this up, his podcast?
No.
Yeah. I was thinking about when you came over, I'm like, do I mention that she, we did this once already. And then we decided not to release it. And I thought, and there were such beautiful moments. I have to tell you, Tiffany, you came across, you cried. I hope you cried twice. I'm expecting tears on this podcast. I thought you expressed yourself incredibly at times. I listened to her. I said, I'm rooting for this person. And you know, you have such a rich story to tell that I think it's unfortunate if somebody just has you on and doesn't get into the deep stuff. You know, we discussed your childhood and growing up in the foster family and your father, your biological father that tried to kill you and your sisters and your mother.
That's a stepfather.
That was a stepfather. I can't keep it straight. There's a stepfather, see, foster grandfather, there's a biological father.
This is what society does. That you tell them your whole story and they twist it up to the story they want to fucking hear.
Well, I did.
And you can't, and you, well, can, you can correct them here and there, but you can't correct the whole damn world.
Don't put me they're as the voice of society.
They're going to say, and they're going to think what they're going to think. And all you can do is be your best self and do what you know is right in your heart. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to answer to God at the end of the day. So everybody else can kiss your ass.
I'd like to answer to Tiffany Haddish right now because
you ain't got to answer to me.
I'd like to say, as host of this show,
I ain't your judge.
Last
I'm
week,
not your boss.
You're judging me right now.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Last week, I'd like to say, last week when the information was fresh in my mind, I got it correct. I got it that it was your stepfather.
Yes, stepfather cut the line in the brakes and, you know,
on the car.
On the bike.
Well,
yes,
I'm just saying it for these. Listen, do you think some of these people that listen to this
it's
and watch
old
the fucking,
news.
Yeah.
It's old news.
It's news to me, though. To,
but okay, but that's, and it'll be news to somebody else that, for their first time getting exposed to Tiffany Haddish. So,
yeah, I mean, if that happened to me, Tiffany, that would be the biggest event of my life. In
but
fact,
it's not
my special
it's bigger
would be
things.
Named My Stepdad Tried to Kill All of Us. That would be the name of my special. I would exploit it.
Really?
Yes. I would get Chris Hansen to do like a dateline on my stepdad.
Is nah. I wouldn't do that because at the end of the day, that person, he wasn't well. Mm. You know, I'm not going to exploit somebody's illness. Mm. Period.
And you're still, you've forgiven him.
Yeah, I've forgiven him. Because at the end of the day, I'm still here. And without that experience, I wouldn't be the person that I am today.
Right.
Moving on. God is handling that. He got gum disease.
Right. He got gum disease?
He got gum disease. Let God handle that.
Well, it would have been more appropriate if he got like arthritis and then he couldn't cut, you know, brake lines
anymore.
He probably got
that too. He probably got that too. He do move different.
Yeah.
But I know for sure he got gum disease. The man has teeth in his mouth.
He's got, does he have, have you noticed like the dentures now are so unrealistic?
Oh my God. They look like clowns, like some kind of like a...
These, it's so distracting. There's a commercial out here called Implants for Life. And this guy comes on and he goes, no, no, no. And he shows his teeth.
It's all teeth.
All perfect. Lined up perfectly. Like, and the guy, you can tell, hasn't taken care of his life. He looks like a meth addict that now got teeth. So it's like the rest of his life, he didn't take care of himself. It's as if all he did his whole life was smoke meth and floss.
Yes.
He's got perfect teeth.
Yep, and they're not his. Brand new.
Brand new.
Brand new. Probably courtesy of the taxpayers of California.
I thought, why should I floss and brush my teeth when the worst thing that can happen is all my teeth come out and I get new ones that are better?
Well, you should brush and floss because you can get disease in those teeth that are still in your mouth. And that disease can spread down into your heart and you can have a heart attack and die.
I think that's propaganda, but okay.
I don't think it's propaganda. I'm pretty sure it's
Who's
right
ever died from not floss? Do you hear about Jim?
There are so many people out here that have died from heart attacks and diseases that come from your mouth. Your yuck ass mouth. Also, nobody would want to kiss
breath.
Your yuck mouth.
Yes.
And you smile and people are like, ugh. And then when you walk into a room or if you in the car, what about that person that you be in the car with and then they start talking and the windows is up and you like, oh my God, my nose has got
to
fall the fuck off, and then you want to wind the window down but it's super cold outside, but then you decide you will take the cold over the fucking funk smell of their breath.
It smells like decomposition from within. Bad
like
breath
something.
Do they know?
I don't think they know that a skunk crawled down their throat and is dying.
But don't they have people that love them that can say,
I don't know, I know I've told many people that their breath stank. And I do it in a very cool way.
Tell
like,
me how
hey.
To do it because I need to tell
I'm
somebody.
Like, hey, you know, have you ever rinsed your mouth with food grade hydrogen peroxide or just hydrogen peroxide and a little water?
Right.
You should rinse your mouth with that.
But don't they have
or offer them gum? Or I say, hey, like you got a lot of
gum
anger.
Helps.
You got a lot of anger in your heart.
Yeah.
I could smell it. What's going on with you?
But some of it is probably halitosis, which is from within that they can't help. But the brushing, that's a hygiene issue.
But the halitosis is coming from bad teeth, probably.
Yeah, sometimes.
The inside, it's rotting disease coming down, bacteria in your mouth going down into your esophagus, ugh. All getting all festered in your belly, all in your intestines coming up out your throat.
Yeah.
A lot of hate.
I dated a woman once and she had, it was a problem.
Really? Did you tell her?
I did.
And what'd she say?
She ended up having a tooth pulled and it was solved. And now we're not dating anymore. Now she upgraded. I made her better and then she left me. How dare she?
Hey, and I like saying that to people too. Hey, when the last time you been in a dentist? You might got a dead tooth in there. I smell a dead tooth.
Wow.
And they just laugh.
Have you ever dated somebody with bad breath?
I've gone on a couple of dates and been like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Right.
It's right. the first date, I'm like, oh, maybe it's just, maybe just by accident.
Yeah.
Maybe. But the second date.
I do the same thing. Then I also think maybe they're bulimic. I think that too.
I don't think that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know too many bulimics. If I do know them, I never really smell their breath.
Yeah. Well, it smells bad because, you know, they're...
The stomach acid.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I want to talk about, if you're comfortable, your childhood. Mm-hmm. Tell me, like, how did we get here to becoming a movie star? Legit movie star.
Well, a lot of playing make-believe in the backyard. You know, it all started back in 1987 when I thought I was going to be on Star Search.
Really? And, for what? What talent?
I really didn't have a talent developed, but I was very good at riding a tricycle in a circle and singing songs. Okay. And I thought that could get me on Star Search. And I would do like a little like practice modeling and stuff.
I'd pay to see that video today. You on a tricycle? Going in circles? Yeah. Breaking news. Tiffany Haddish has lost her mind. I'd love to see that.
Talking about butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere.
What is this? This is...
Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
This is better already. You know, I wanted to... This is our second podcast. I did want to introduce you as the worst podcast guest ever. That's how I was going to introduce
but
you.
But that's not true.
No, it's not true.
That's not true. Right.
This is already better than the last one. It really is. She's bringing it.
She's bringing it.
What type of kid were you?
I had a big imagination. I was shy at first. And then once I felt comfortable with you, I was like very open, very talkative, very sweet. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, junior high, you know, I saw right before junior high, I saw that movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and the detective says to the rabbit, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he said, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. And I was like, that's the ticket. That's what I'll do. I'll make people laugh. Cool. And that's how I'll get people to help me with my homework. And that's how I'll make it through life, is by making people laugh.
Yeah.
And then they'll do things for me. And yes, I learned the art of manipulation through that. Not for evil, though.
Yeah.
Just for helping me get, you know, education and get through life. And I did that for a while, quite a while. I would get guys to read things to me. I had a really great memory. So if somebody read something to me, I would remember it like verbatim. And
why not just read it yourself?
Because I couldn't read, bro. Couldn't read. I was not very good at reading. Couldn't read anything more than like a 3 or 4 letter word. And still I would like mess it up.
Well, were you in a lot of schools? Were you bounced around?
I was bounced around. But also I was told I was stupid all the time. So, you know, and you know what's so funny? It's like, okay, so in the black culture, people tell you, you so stupid. You stupid as hell. You dumb. You stupid. Oh, my God. You fucking ignorant. You so stupid. Right? And they'll be saying it laughing. And they'll be saying
that's a compliment.
I did not realize that.
Lonnie Love calls me stupid all the time.
I did not realize that until I was like 18, about to get in a fight with this lady at my job.
Right.
We was at the ticket counter. This is when I used to work for the airlines. We was at the ticket counter. And I was like, I was saying something silly. And she was like, girl, you are so stupid. And I was like, stop calling me stupid. I'm getting tired of you calling me stupid. She was like, why? Girl, you dumb as fuck. You so stupid. And I was like, nah, call me stupid one more motherfucking time. I'm gonna whoop your ass. She was like, I'm just saying you funny. What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh my gosh, all these years, people been saying I'm funny, not that I'm like dumb.
But how were you not down with the expression?
I wasn't down
with
it.
How did you miss that?
I missed it, bro. Certain things I missed.
So let's start. So now I want to know, you were living with your mother and then hard times hit and you were...
Yes, I was living with my mom. She had her car accident.
The car accident, which was a result of what?
What was the result of some brake lines not working.
Mm-hmm.
And
your stepdad, not your biological dad.
Yes, stepdad, not biological dad. And so that happened. And she had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything all over again. So everything that she had been teaching me up to that point, and I was about 8, I was teaching her and helping with my brothers and sisters and doing all of this. And... You know, I did the best that I could, you know, as a young mom, as like a 9, 10, 11 year old mom.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, I was the oldest.
How old are your siblings?
The one right under me is 5 years, then there's 6 years, then there's 8 years younger than me, then there's 12 years younger than me.
And that's the same mother?
Same mom.
Different dad?
They all have the same dad, and I have a different dad.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And are you guys really close?
Me and the females, we're pretty close. And I mean, my brothers, we check in every now and then.
It's so funny because I know you as Tiffany Haddish, the comic, and we hang out, but I never think of you with siblings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I got 2 sisters and 2 brothers.
Yeah. And you had last weekend, you had your grandmother's memorial.
Yeah, we had my grandma's memorial and we all came together.
Nobody fought.
Nobody got in a fight, which I thought was going to happen. I thought me and my cousin was going to get into it, but we didn't.
Over what?
It was great. Because she'd be just disrespectful and stuff. And so, you know, she'd be disrespectful.
No, you're stupid.
First of all, you stupid.
You stupid.
Are you saying that to me? Stupid. I don't like that. I don't like the way you're saying that to me. No, but.
Dumb.
I am. I've done some dumb things.
There's a chance of a fight at the grandmother's memorial?
Yeah, we're black. It's always a chance of a fight.
Why wasn't I invited?
Because you're not my husband. You want to be my husband?
Well, you asking?
Because it was a family thing. I mean, if you want to be Orny Haddish.
I got to take your name?
Orny Haddish Adams.
Okay.
You know, you got to add my name to your name.
I just want to see the fights at the memorial. I can't imagine. Would it be physical or like a yelling?
More of a probably physical. It probably start out
really?
And maybe it might start out a little yelling. It might not. But I don't mean to be disrespectful,
but to me, that would make it a great memorial. Like, it would have been great if there were some fights at
Have you been?
No. Our memorials are very boring. We get dressed up. We're respectful. We eat cold cuts.
Yeah.
You know, we hug, we cry, but
and
you
that's
know,
basically what ended up happening.
Right. But if I knew there was going to be some fights, I really think that adds a great element to.
It's a possibility with us. I mean, have you ever been to a funeral and there's been a fight?
No.
Now, I've been to many funerals where there has been fighting going on.
Over what? What people?
Like, it's just like, you know, over, oh my God, no, you're not his baby mama. I'm his baby mama. Mm-hmm. You know, or the, my hood versus your hood. I can't believe this hood came up in here. Or you
all. Territory stuff?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Territory stuff. Or just some like, you didn't put this money up for the funeral. I put it up, bitch. And then it's like a fight over that. And, you know. Just different stuff. People fight.
Yeah, I guess so.
And especially when there's death, there's going to be an argument somewhere. But we didn't have no fight at my grandma's funeral. Mm-hmm. Now, there was, I wanted to fight. You know, I wanted to, like, do something, but, you know,
why?
Behave myself.
Don't get yourself in trouble, but why? Why are you?
Because I just hold for aircraft.
Hold. Everybody back to first positions.
There was aircraft at exactly 50.04.
Can I tell you my favorite thing on a set that I mock all the time is when they yell, they go, rolling! And then every PA, every catering, rolling! Roll! All of a sudden, you just hear people, like we heard it the first time. So like when they're filming like on the streets and it's not even my movie, like in New York, and I hear rolling, I go, rolling! Like, it's so inside, but that drives me nuts that everybody like wants to sound like important yelling rolling, like the first AD.
Right.
So no fights happened, which is great.
Fights happened. It was a bunch of laughs. We came across a lot of really cool pictures and heard some really great stories from my other cousins that zoomed in.
Get the good stories. Get to the fight. Why was it going to be a fight? What did the cousin do?
No, I was saying it might be a fight because, like, okay, before all of this, before the memorial and everything, my cousin would just talk really crazy to my aunties and be disrespectful, and she would, like, call my phone and talk crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like on some, you know, you can't be disrespecting the elders and the family, so on eyesight, I'm going to slap you if they tell me you did something. So, but nobody told me she did anything, and then she was cool, and it was all good. But then she did call my phone talking a little crazy for a second, and I was going to go, ham, did a damn. But, you know, I got forgiveness
of my heart. Older or younger?
Younger.
Yeah, why bother, though? You're Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
You're like, you'd be above this. You'd be the more mature one.
It was fun.
I do sense you lose your temper from time to time.
I have lost my temper.
You yelled at me in the last podcast. Scared me a little bit. You yelled at me at the improv, like, where's the episode? I want to listen to it. I'm like,
I didn't yell at you. I was like, come on, I want to listen to the episode.
I mean, there I was all tender after hugging Adam Sandler. Just feeling alive.
I did not yell at you.
I had a nice little corner going. People kept coming over to my corner. I felt real you know, the next day people contacted me. It was good to see me. I really, the level of acceptance in the comedy community is cool to me.
Yeah, I love, that's what I love about being a comedian though. Like whenever I feel like, oh, I'm so lonely or like I need a hug and there's nobody around, I know I could go to the comedy club and somebody's going to give me a hug.
Absolutely.
Like, guaranteed. And you know, my philosophy is 15 hugs a day keeps the psychiatrist away, so. I try to get my hugs in.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So your mom still alive.
Uh-huh.
Biological father still alive?
No, biological father is deceased. He died right before Girls Trip came out.
Any fights at that funeral?
No fights at that funeral because it wasn't one.
Okay. Oh.
Well, I mean, it was a little memorial thing when once I got to Eritrea. There was no fights.
Why not? I don't know if I need a funeral. I feel like you could just roll
me down
the hill.
But the funeral is not for you. It's for the people that loved you.
So I have to pay for that?
You don't, I guess if you got life insurance, you know, you would want to make it easy on the people that care about you that's going to be putting you in the ground to do that. Maybe you don't want them to pay a lot of money, so cremate me and put me in the urn in the living room or something.
I want them to cremate me and throw me at comedy clubs. I want them to just throw me at the Improv and the Laugh Factory, you know, places like that, places I work.
I want to be cremated and buried in my plum tree.
Okay, we can
arrange
that. And
in a year from the time that I'm placed in the ground, when the tree is fruitful again, I want everyone who loved me to eat the fruit from that tree.
It's very cannibalistic.
Is it?
Sort of.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. Because it's just the plants are only going to get the like nitrogen from my ashes.
Yeah, I'd like some Tiffany Haddish ash plum jelly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you. It's going to be delicious. You're going to feel a lot of joy. And then I'll be out of there in 24 hours.
There you go. Yeah, I guess so.
This is a plum.
This is the plum. So you're, but tell me, just because it's interesting to me and because we grew up very differently, how did you end up in the foster care program?
So basically, my mom, well, I was a mom. My mom was not being a mom. So I was being a mom and I wasn't necessarily the best at it. You know, I did the best that I could. And my brother would say stuff to my brother would go to school in the pee-pee clothes. I used to be like, man, like I would lay out.
He was a smelly kid?
Man, he used to pee in the bed. And then, you know, I'd be like, put these on. You know, I would lay out clean clothes for him, but he wouldn't put them on. He would go to school in the pee-pee clothes. Like he wore what he wanted to wear. And, you know, the teacher, that's a reason for the teacher to be like, what's going on over there? And sent the social worker, and the social worker see what's going on, and we ended up in foster care. What, my mom had gotten into a fight with the front neighbors, right? And
where is this? What part of LA?
South Central LA.
Okay.
And she got it. We lived in like a duplex. There's a house in the front, a house in the back. She got in a fight with the front neighbors, and when I came home from school, they was arresting her, and the social worker was there and was like, okay, y'all got to pack up. Y'all going.
What is that like to see your mom being arrested? How old are you? 9, 10?
I am 12. I'm 12 and I'm like, what? Like in shock, but then kind of relieved. And I'm like, oh, we going to my grandma's house. I'm hoping we going just straight to my grandma's house. And she's like, no, you're just going into foster care. So,
and you guys all go to the same home?
No, I throw all my, you know, I put a bunch of stuff in the trash bags for my sisters and my brothers. And she takes us first we go to her office. She gets some addresses. And then we drop my two sisters off and we drop my two brothers off. My sister stayed in their own place. My brothers had their own place. And she took me to McLaren Hall. And McLaren Hall sucks.
What is that?
Ass.
What is that?
It doesn't exist anymore. They shut the building down, thank the Lord. But it's like basically a facility where they hold foster youth, or they hold basically the overflow. And it could be mental situations. It could be juvenile situations. It could be, you know, removed from a home and they're looking for placement and there temporarily till they find placement. And I was there for like a day and a half, 2 days. 2 days, because I remember sleeping 2 nights. And then my social worker took me to a foster home. And then it was moved around quite a few times, had some experiences, lived with some Hispanics, lived with some Jews. And then.
So they're taking you out of South Central and bringing you.
I was in El Monte for like a couple of days and then back into South Central.
So I thought foster care was for like a great length of time, like at least months to a year.
Yeah, it was several years. And then even once my grandma got custody of us, you know, we were still considered foster children. We still had to go to court for approval and stuff and all of that.
But why, like, didn't your grandmother get custody right away? What changed?
She had to take a parenting class and some other thing or whatever. So
really?
Yeah, it was some stuff she had to do.
But she already raised your mother and other people. Like, why did she? Yeah, well, you don't have to take a parenting class to be a parent.
Yeah, but you have to, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what the deets are. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they were like, yeah, you only have 2 bedrooms available in your house and it's only, you know, it's 5 kids and you. I don't know what the details of why I was a kid.
And so, yeah. And so.
But all I know is I was moved around until she was able to get custody of us.
And how long was that?
That was probably a year and a half, 2 years.
And so how many different homes were you in?
I said several, I think 4 or 5. I know I was in a group home. I was in McLaren Hall. I lived with some Mexicans. I lived with some Jews. I lived with some black people.
Yeah.
I was moved around.
That's great. You learned a lot. How were the Jews? They treat you okay?
They're all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all right.
They're all right?
Yeah. It's funny because I don't know if it was you or somebody asked me, do you remember any of these people? And do you keep in contact with them? You asked me that. And no, I feel so bad. I was trying to like rack my brain after you asked me that, like to see if I could remember.
I remember.
Nobody's reached out. Nobody's reached out. And they probably don't remember me.
Yeah, they do.
They probably don't because I lived in some, you know, it wasn't like I was there at their place for a long stretch of time. You get moved around pretty quick.
Yeah.
And how many kids have come through there? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I remembered, I started driving around trying to see if I could remember where the houses were. I found 2 of them. The other one was in the valley. I can't find it. I don't know where the fuck that is.
Huh.
But, and no, when knocked on the door, those people weren't there. And then, even if they were there, I couldn't be sure.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them if they have foster kids, if they ever have foster kids. And one lady's like, no, I never had no foster kids.
I'm sure there are records that you could find.
Yeah, but those are sealed. I mean, I guess I could access them if I wanted to, but why would I?
No, I don't see why. I think if they left your life organically, then they're meant not to be in your life and they'll come back if they, you know.
And for what?
If whatever. Maybe they want to say, hey, that's amazing.
And then that would be nice. But now, 9 times out of 10, somebody come back in your life, they want something.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me what that's like.
But like,
and but first of all, I want to know.
But I have to say, like, I ran into my social worker.
Yeah.
I ran into my drama teacher and they wanted nothing from me. And they said they were proud of me. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
And well, that's cool. Like, you know, they check on me. I check on it. It's like, it's nice.
Yeah.
Once a year. Hey, hey.
Yeah. That's nice because a lot of people do want. But before I want to know, like, when you go into one of these homes, you can tell immediately if it's a fit or not, right?
No. Even if it does fit, like, even if you're like, oh, I'm happy to be here. Like, yeah, this is where I want to be. Because every home I'm pretty kind. No, I'm not every home, but a lot of them I felt like, oh, I could make this work here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you don't have any say-so. And sometimes they don't have any say-so.
Well, why do they do it? Why are they fostering kids?
You would hope because they want to help them. Some because they want to check.
They get money, right? Yeah.
Yeah. To like supplement an income. But you never really know.
Yeah. All right. Help me understand this. We're taking a little switch here. Help me understand. Because as I get more successful, I'm noticing more and more people want things from me. How do you live your life knowing that? And how do you protect yourself?
Say no.
But you can't say no to everything.
You can say no. Or you can say that, like, when your friends ask you for crazy money, you can say, wow, you know, I really value our friendship more than the money. And I'm not really interested in just giving out money.
So people are asking for money.
And yeah, people ask for money
how
all the time.
And
then you say,
come on, really? Like more than 10,000. Really?
What? And you go, are you serious?
These are friends.
These are people you think are friends.
This would be like if I came up to you and said, could you lend me 25,000? People to like,
100,000.
Yeah.
Can
Come
you lend
on.
Me 500,000? Lend you 500,000. But if, no.
They don't understand the economics of the business, which we discussed on the last podcast. If you make $1 million, 50%
really
goes to the government.
You really get 300,000.
Right. 50% goes to the government. Then you have attorneys, you have accountants, agents, managers.
Makeup, hair, publicists, security, transportation, insurance.
Sounds like less than 300,000. Sounds like
It's going to be about 300,000.
Wow. And then somebody wants
taxes,
500 of that.
And then they want 500,000. You're like, excuse me?
Yeah. And you know,
you should invest. You should invest $500,000 in this thing and this business. Oh, let me see the business plan. Yeah. Well, I'm working on that. But if you give me the $500,000, I can have a business plan. Let me see the business. But if I can't get the business plan done until you give me the money, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
Yeah. Have you fallen for any of these investment? Have you invested in a bar?
No.
You know, there's people that do this, like give $25,000 and say you're an owner and you get to have a meal here once a month.
No. I haven't done that. Yeah. No. That
Any bad like, investments?
Sure.
What? Come on, give me a good one. Come on.
A bad investment?
Don't tell me pot delivery or something like
that. No. I would say shucks. I've invested in some of my friends' ideas.
Yeah, projects.
Yeah, their projects, their ideas, and no return on that investment.
Right. But it could have.
Then that friend kind of disappears too, I guess because they feel bad because it didn't work.
Hmm.
And, I'm not saying anything about the money, but then they just kind of fall off the face of the earth.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, people.
They want to use your name for something and you're like, okay, but it needs to make sense. I need to see like all the statistics, the numbers, the blah, 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 blah. Like, and then when they're like, yeah, you got to put in this to do it. And it's like, wait a minute, I got to put in money to do this. Well, when all these other companies will pay me to do the exact same thing that you're asking me to pay money to do, doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make sense.
What I do. I take all my money and I put it in the stock market and like index funds and I watch it grow. Now we've had a bad last year, but it will grow again. But I'm not into risky. I'm adverse to that sort of, invest in myself. Like, the model now for people like me, I can't, the streamers aren't calling me. They're not going, a middle-aged white guy. We need you. Right.
Yeah.
So I put my special up on YouTube, which you endorsed and you tweeted about, and I appreciate that. That was that's a good friend thing. I don't need money. That's all I need. In fact, I don't want anything from you except if anybody asks. He's a cool guy to work with. He's nice and he's funny. That's all I care about. I'd give him a shot. And so I put it up on YouTube, and it's about to hit 2 million views, which blows my mind for me. And then I'll invest in the future. I'll take another $50,000 to $75,000 of my own money and shoot another special and put it up there. I invest in myself.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I do that a lot too. I mostly invest in land and technology. So like I invested in Clubhouse, which did okay, I guess. But I think it's like kind of falling off.
Maybe what happened in Clubhouse?
Maybe that's the bad investment. I don't know. I get on there like once a month. It seems to still be going. So, but then I've invested in a company called Digital Air Technology, and I'm really excited about it. Actually, I'm one of the owners of Digital Air Technology. And it's a company that does technological things, but we have a branch of the company that's called Busy on Meat. And we basically, it's a all black owned company, and it's our version of Zoom. But not only do we have our own capability of video chat, but we also have what we call the C-suite, where if you have a small business, you can set it all up there. You can help you with your business plan. So those friends that's asking me for money and don't have a business plan, you can go onto my platform, Bizio, thebizio.com, and you can go ahead and hold for motorcycle.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. You can go on my website, thebizio.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's BIZIO.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can go to the C-suite and you can start out filling out a template for a business plan. Get your business set up, get the licenses and all that stuff, everything you need to become a small business owner.
Mm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
And you can run your whole system. So we're in 300 restaurants. We got a POS system.
Well, how did this happen?
I just had an idea, like, what can I do to advance the community? And then, like, I was talking to some friends, and then they're like, oh, I know this guy is doing this. And I'm like, who? And my guy, Jimmy Martinez, is like, you should meet this guy, Richard Thompson. His company, blah, blah, blah. He's putting this thing together, and it's, like, getting off the ground, and he's from BlackRock. And I'm like, let me check it out. You know what BlackRock is.
No, I don't.
The investment banking company.
Yeah.
So
venture capitalist.
Venture capitalist company, yeah. So he was working with them for a long time, and so I was like, let me meet him. So I met him. I talked to him.
You putting a lot of money into this?
I put a lot of money into
it.
I put a lot of money into it, and we're in three countries in Africa. We're running school systems over there. We're doing pretty good.
All right.
Doing pretty good. I can't complain.
All right. Good for you.
I cannot and I will not complain.
All right. Let's get back to comedy.
Let's get back to comedy.
Hold for loud.
Hold for motorcycle. Douchebag
car. Hold for that guy. What's amazing is, like, I'll hear things and mm-hmm. I'll comment, and then you actually, it doesn't pick up on the recording as much as you think, but it's okay.
But I can feel it
coming
through the table.
Yeah. We're in, Tiffany Haddish is here. She's up in my house. This isn't my house. People think I live in this trailer. They think I've done so poorly.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is actually in my backyard.
Yeah, this is Kiki's spot. I think this is your man cave.
This is my Shasta.
I mean, you have some, electronic football thing here that I've been wanting to play ever since I noticed it.
Batteries in there, but
yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh wow. How you doing? You're winning. This is an old ColecoVision. Was a football.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, my nails are too long.
Yeah, let me see. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, you.
I didn't know I had batteries in here. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you did. Oh, I guess
you got to turn it on. Well, you got to push one player or two player.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go.
He ain't ready because I'm.
Oh, shoot. This is his Candy Crush, y'all. This electronic football is his Candy Crush.
Yeah. I love that. That's better than TikTok.
Take that TikTok. Electronic football in your hands. Yeah.
How did you get into stand-up comedy officially?
I was getting in trouble. So I was in high school by this point. I was getting in trouble going back and forth to the principal's office, talking too much, doing a lot. Social workers coming up to the school a lot. And
how old
was I was 15. Mm-hmm. 15, about to be 16.
Yeah.
And she was like, 15, you know, you got two choices this summer.
Yeah.
You can go to Laugh Factory Comedy Camp or you can go to psychiatric therapy. Which one you want to do?
Huh.
And I was like, which one am I going to be on drugs? She said, you're definitely going to be on drugs if you go to the therapy. So I said, well, let me go to the comedy camp. Yeah. And I went there. And at that point, I had already won like first place in drama festivals, competing in the LA Unified School District and in the Southern California drama festivals. And I was winning for monologues and stuff. So I had an act, kind of. Mm-hmm. So that taught me a lot. That was the first time I ever was in the presence of a man and didn't feel like something bad was going to happen. I didn't feel like I needed to be on the defense because the comics would come and they would be mentors. They would like teach us, you know, how to write a joke, stage presence, when to be funny, when not to
be
funny.
Who were these comedians?
So who was in there? Tom Dreesen, David Alan Greer, Chris Spencer.
Great. These are all home
Sean
runs.
Wayans, Marlon Wayans.
I don't know him.
Eddie Murphy showed up.
Oh, God.
Charles Fleischer. Oh. I mean, not Eddie Murphy. Richard Pryor. I'm sorry. Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor's huge.
Richard Pryor, not Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry. I take that back. Richard Pryor.
Wow.
Arsenio Hall.
Wait a minute. You've worked. You were mentored by Richard Pryor?
Yeah, Richard Pryor showed up. And I remember getting on stage and telling my jokes. Yeah. And in the middle of me telling him, he goes, stop. What are you doing? I said, I'm telling a joke. He goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He goes, no, you're not. I said, what you think I'm doing there? He said, getting on my goddamn nerves. That's what you're doing. Look, people don't come to comedy clubs because they want to hear about your problems or politics or religion or pop culture or any of that stuff. They come to comedy clubs to have fun.
But wait a minute. Richard Pryor talked about his problems. He talked about being lit on fire, lighting himself on fire.
On stage, have fun. It doesn't matter what you're talking about as long as you're having fun.
That's good advice.
Have fun. And that didn't really register with me until I got a little older. And I was like, oh, wait, if I have fun all the time, if I make, like, have fun in any situation, life will be a lot easier.
Right.
And so I started taking that philosophy with me everywhere.
Nice. Oh, that's so cool. I never met Richard Pryor. It's like a whole nother.
Well, he rolled in there in that wheelchair.
Yeah.
And,
I've seen that. Are you in that picture on the wall?
I'm in way in the back. You can't even see me.
Oh, you are?
Arsenio Hall brought him that day, too.
Man, another one I love is Arsenio Hall. That's the coolest thing is that if you go into stand-up comedy, you will start out, and there are people that are so far ahead of you, you'll actually become friends with them once you're in comedy. Like, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're like, somebody, was it you? Who was it that last week said, I want to introduce you to Eddie Murphy. Who was it? Like, Eddie's like, to me, is like Another guy so likable.
But I would. I totally would.
I'd love to meet Eddie Murphy.
That would be like the dopest. I mean, I love every time I meet him, every time I encounter him is like an awesome experience.
I would love to just talk to him. I would love, I'd love to interview him, but that guy, I am in awe of his likability, his stage presence. That Eddie Murphy Raw video, it was wearing the leather suit, the blue or the leather suit. He's on stage for like an hour and a half. He doesn't take one sip of water the whole time. Like, I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, he was young too.
God, he was good.
He was young, so you could probably go that long wearing.
Yeah. Oh, man, was he good.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was amazing.
God, and you know what?
I wish he would get on stage again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's an awesome storyteller.
Well, he did kind of, he was funny at the award show the other day.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Jada, you know, keep your wife, you know.
Keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth.
And you're going to work with her, that wife, on Girls Trip 2, right?
I hope so.
Did you know this was being announced?
Mm-mm.
Oh, really? They just assume they can get you? Now we negotiate. Now we have leverage. They've announced it already. They need
you. But you know they announce this every year.
All right, Oh, they do?
Every year they say
this. Oh, they do? I didn't know that.
You didn't notice that?
No, this is a joke?
Every year they say this.
Oh, so this isn't happening?
I don't know. It could be. Maybe this could be the year. This is like, you know.
Wait a minute.
This could be like being in a long-term relationship with a guy and he's like, okay, look, I love you. We're going to get married eventually. You know? We're engaged, but just when's the actual wedding day? I don't know.
Right. Interesting. Oh, so this might not be happening.
I have no idea. I look forward to seeing the contract. I look forward to seeing the script.
Yeah, well, you said you were involved in something later this year that was a sizable film, and I thought maybe that was that, and you hadn't told me.
No, I did tell you. The Disney movie?
Oh, it is a Disney movie.
Haunted Mansion?
Okay, you're right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, I told you.
Look at you, killing it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Staying focused, doing the work.
Do you like shooting movies?
I love shooting movies.
Do you?
I love shooting movies, but I love doing stand-up way more.
Yeah. I love the freedom of stand-up.
I love being a performer, period.
I'd love to do movies and projects if anybody wants to ask me.
Yeah, I think you should.
You know?
I think you should.
Feel like my character's pretty defined. You know,
and
me.
When did Teen Wolf come out?
Stupid me.
Did it come out already?
It comes out Thursday, but stupid me thought, oh, I once I'm in a Teen Wolf, the TV show, people are going to see it and they're just going to cast me. And, you know, just doesn't work.
You still have to audition. When I did the Carmichael show, I had to audition for
Nobody's even asking me to audition.
Nobody asked me to audition either. You had to submit. I had to submit, make submissions.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is.
Not anymore. They still make you audition?
The last time I auditioned was a year and a half ago.
Don't you think you and I should be on the next season of White Lotus?
Man, that would be dope. I think I should. I mean, if it's anywhere, I think I should. If it's like an Asian country.
Yeah, I want to do, I like.
Or if it's in like Fiji or something like that.
Something exotic.
Yes, I would love to.
Yeah, we want to know the location before we commit. White Lotus people, we're not committing right now until we hear what location it'll be shot in. I think that's important to us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What about Thailand? I'd do something in Thailand.
Yeah, I'd do something in Thailand. I had to think about where that was.
Yeah. Oh, Thailand?
Yeah. And I just thought about it. I'm like, why do I know Thailand? Because I've been there.
Yeah. Oh,
I went there
you?
On a Groupon. Yeah.
On a Groupon?
Awesome.
Who goes to Thailand is a Groupon.
No, you can go on a Groupon. It's even cheaper than a Groupon.
What I mean, cheaper than a Groupon.
Wine regular. It's still popping.
No, it ain't popping.
Yes, it is popping.
You crazy.
No, you crazy.
Stupid.
No, you stupid.
You stupid.
No, you stupid than a motherfucker.
Stupid.
You was stupid
you
as shit.
Stupid.
You the dumbest. Oh, my God. You so dumb and stupid.
See, now you got it down.
Yeah, now I know better.
Why don't I do a movie called He's Stupid?
Because then that'll probably offend a community.
Oh, would?
Probably.
Which community?
I have no idea. The stupid community?
I've got to be. Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, everything. You've got to be so sensitive. Do you worry on stage about what you say now?
No, I don't. I just say what the fuck I wants to say. And if they like it, they like it. And if they don't, they don't.
I remember when I saw you.
Everything's so PC.
I know. When I saw you at the Comedy Store and you said, I want to come on your podcast, you said, I'm going to bring Kanye West up. And then,
I didn't say I was bringing Kanye.
Yeah, you did.
I can't bring him here. He don't answer my calls. I don't
call
him.
Wait a minute. You...
You said I'm going to bring him up here?
You said this to me. You said I'm going to... We even talked about it on the last podcast.
Bring him here?
Yeah, you said I'm
going to... Oh, bring him here. Yes,
to my podcast.
Yes, I said I would try.
Yeah.
I said I would try. You should talk to him.
I don't know.
I don't have the power over him. You know,
nobody. I don't think anybody does.
He's married now.
Yeah. What is that?
Not that we were ever dating or anything like that. But I would encourage him. I would encourage him to come and have a conversation with you.
Does he not take your calls or?
I don't call.
Oh, do you text?
No. Last year, maybe in the beginning of last year.
I'd like to sit across from him and just see what really is going on in his head. And then
need a hug.
Okay, but I can't hug him. But I do want to know, like,
you can't hug him?
I'll hug him, but...
You can't hug him. Why? Because we're Jewish?
We're Jewish, and I don't think he wants to be hugged by a Jew because he thinks we control his money, and even though...
I think he would still accept a hug.
Yeah. I would love to press him. Now, I think if he was somebody I interviewed, I would actually talk to people in the Jewish community to find out how they feel and what questions they want answered.
Yeah.
Did he destroy his career?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like anything is possible. I mean, I've seen Robert Downey Jr. make a comeback.
He's amazing.
He's made a
huge. I've seen him at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, I've seen him at the Laugh Factory too. And he's made some he's made some major, major mistakes.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know all of them. Uh-oh, is there one that I don't know? What did he?
I mean, which ones do you know?
Drugs and alcohol. And is there Me Too stuff?
Is there Me Too stuff?
I don't know. I'll Google it. Don't say anything. I don't want to edit it out. don't say anything.
But there's so many people that have fallen off and made comebacks. So
I wish we had your phone because I'd like to call Oprah right now. I think that
I don't have Oprah's number. I have her security's number.
Who's the most famous person whose number you have?
The most famous person.
Besides me.
Paris Hilton?
Yeah, that's cool.
But I think she's the most famous. I mean,
any politicians? Any?
Politicians? Yeah, I got a lot of politicians.
But you know what I was thinking? Like when I was saying before, people's opinions of you can affect your work. So I was on a plane yesterday, mm-hmm. and I'm flying back, and there's a movie, and it's with Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
He plays an ex-boxer. You notice every movie is the same premise over and over. Liam Neeson, I think he's done the same movie 50 times. Could you venture out a little bit? Once again, now he's an assassin who's retiring, but he gets pulled back for one more job. I mean, how many times have we heard this premise? But this one was with Mark Wahlberg. He was on the poster. I was on United, sorry, but you got shitty movie selections, okay? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this. Opening scene, Mel Gibson. And I go, I'm not doing it. I'm just not. I haven't forgiven him for what he said about mm-hmm. the Jews. I just haven't. Like, there's too many people out there to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, that's a lesson. I don't know when what, but.
And that's what you have the freedom to do, see?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember there's a billion some people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What's your favorite thing about doing stand-up comedy?
I write it, and it's my thoughts that I get to share.
Yeah, what are you talking about these days?
I'm talking about my mom. I'm talking about me remembering being born.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about
my You ancestors. Remember being born?
I remember being born and how painful that was.
No, this is impossible. This is officially into you crazy. You stupid. This is you stupid.
You don't remember being born. That was your first headache.
No. I don't remember. And
that's the closest I've ever been to being gay.
What?
Yeah.
Coming out of were you C-sectioned or were you vaginally?
I was vaginally born.
Wow.
That was the first time and the only time a vagina near my lips.
Okay. You say so. I don't know if we're doing a bit or
I mean, we're speaking facts.
Yeah.
And you know, and as a baby, there was a breast in my mouth. And I was,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I wanted it.
And so this,
because I was hungry, but now
And you remember this stuff and it doesn't encourage you to maybe try bisexuality?
No, I'm cool.
You cool.
I'm cool on that.
You cool.
Okay. I'm cool on that.
Okay.
No.
I think whatever you want. You know?
I like men.
I know you do.
Can I talk about men?
Yeah. What's going on? How many you got this? Last weekend, you were juggling three.
I was juggling three.
Then you showed up at the improv with one. What was that guy?
And then, I don't even, that guy was a guy.
Yeah. Just a guy?
Just a guy.
A piece of arm candy for you.
Just basically security.
Yeah.
Backup.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then I, you know, went on a trip with another one.
Yeah. Oh, really? Where'd you guys go?
Went to Sundance.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You brought a guy.
I brought a guy.
Hmm. How do you get there?
On a plane.
You're private?
No.
No? Okay.
No. First class.
First class is fine. I don't judge. I was in coach yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was coach. I was, for people that want to know how glamorous my life is, you know, because I was first class the week before, and I have no status on United. I was...
And you came back coach.
Row 50.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
50 out of, I think, 55. I was basically,
you know,
I opened the bathroom door for everybody in the back of the plane.
That's what happened to him. He got there first. People took first, came back and coached.
Yeah, somebody took a picture of me and posted it and goes, why is this guy back here? But I'm a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I've no shame in that.
I've flown coach.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Sometimes this happens. I'm first class, but then I go, I want to get out of here early. They're like, well, we only have coach. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Get me home.
Same.
Yeah. So I want to put that on a shirt. So people know why I'm a coach for those times.
Just put on a mask
and
a hoodie, cover my mole.
Yeah.
And don't talk.
What mole? This the cover? What do you mean cover it?
Cover it with the mask.
Oh, cuz that identifies you.
Like this.
Have you been recognized for your mole?
Yeah, I get recognized for my mole.
Wow.
Yeah, they go, "Are you Tiffany Haddish?" And I go, "Hmm." And they go, "I know that mole. I know that mole. That's Tiffany Haddish right there. I know that mole."
You have that mole your whole life?
No, it came up when I was about 7.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow. Have you ever thought about removing it? Or
yeah, the doctor wanted to remove it. I had a mole right here on my chin, and I had that one removed. That's the only plastic surgery I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
There's this mole on my chin that was removed, and he wanted to remove this one under my eye, but then I was like, no, nobody will recognize me if you take that one off.
What if your entire career is ruined?
Yeah, and he was like, but what if it's cancerous? I was like, they already did a biopsy. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, I wish we would have put you to sleep.
And they would have just taken it off?
Probably.
I mean, you woke up without your
identity? I would have been pissed.
Ooh,
but then it probably would have been a scar there anyway. So.
Yeah. What are you looking for in a guy?
I mean, what do you have to offer?
Well, not much, to be honest with you. In fact, when I hear women talk about red flags, I go, I check all of those.
You check you all the red flags?
Well, it's so funny. It's like people, like somehow I turned my age 52. And... Mm-hmm. I never got married. And now people are questioning me if I'm suitable for marriage. People are like, you've never been. They'll go on a date and go, wow, you've never been married. That's strange. I'm like, you've been divorced 3 times. Seems like you have more of a problem with marriage than I do. Like, I think it's strange that there's this stigma around marriage. I could get married. I have a lot to offer. I mean, I think you see this Shasta that I live in.
And what else?
What lots what kind of laughs,
what kind of husband would you be?
Stability, support. I probably wouldn't be right for you because we're both very into ourselves. So like
I'm not as into myself as you are into
you
yourself.
Don't know me from me. You don't know. You don't know what you're dumb.
I am
talking dumb. Yeah.
But what if I'm into you? Like if it, so like your wife, what's your ideal wife?
Well, if you're into me, first of all, don't tell me that you were in Sundance 2 days ago with another guy. Don't bring a date to the improv. Don't tell me the 3 guys you were dating last week on the podcast. You know,
so lie to you.
Slow it down.
So lie to you. You haven't invited me nowhere. Okay. Well, I had to invite my motherfucking self.
Well, on the last podcast, you said, let's go to Craig's after this.
Yeah.
Let's get a photograph. Yeah,
have you tried to take me anywhere? Have you offered? Have you told me a date and time?
Well,
are we going today?
Have you?
What are we doing?
Have you dated comics? It's just
no.
It's impossible.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's just fuck.
You know, my parents listen to this. My God,
I would never fuck you. I think you would die.
Oh please, don't backtrack because I didn't have the right reaction. It's official. You just offered. And let me tell you something. She's going to call tomorrow and go, you know that line where I said...
No, leave that.
Okay. Have we said anything on this podcast that makes you uncomfortable?
A lot.
Don't tell me there are edits.
You're probably going to have to take out the Butterfly in the Sky song.
Why? Is that...
It might be copywritten.
Who is it?
I don't know. It was from The Reading Rainbow.
No,
it's
I'm leaving
the theme
it
song
in.
For
the I'm leaving it in. They could sue me. Let them be sued. Let them sue me. That would be great publicity for
me. Hey, I want to ask you about something.
Go ahead, because we have like a couple of minutes left, and I want to end on a high note. I thought talking about dating would be like the...
Oh, now, then I'm going to bring it back down then.
No, don't. Go ahead. You can ask me anything you
want. I wanted to ask you, what did you think of this whole debacle with Chris D'Elia?
You know, it's interesting because I'm definitely not on the right. Like, I get uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I've been sitting in the back of the comedy club and I see stuff. So what do you think about it?
What are you seeing?
I mean, I see that like a lot of guys do. I feel like a lot of men do comedy just to get laid.
Do you have that impression of me?
Well, you're not married.
Yeah, but you know what? Ask around. What do you hear? There's nothing.
I have only seen, let me just be honest with you. I think I've only seen you with like 3 girls.
Yeah, I just.
And they weren't girls. They were grown women.
Yeah, I mean, right.
You know, but I've seen things.
With other people, not me.
No, not with you.
Right, let me just say about me.
I'm just wondering, first of all, what do other guys say to guys when they see that kind of behavior?
Yeah, you know, for me, it all makes me very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because first of all, I don't know what the truth is. I wasn't there. But when there's multiple stories.
More than 40.
Yeah. It's hard.
When they make a documentary about it.
Yeah. You know, one club said to me, I hope I don't get into trouble. I won't say what the club is. But they asked me, said, how do you feel about this person working here? And it was a person that was under, you know, there were allegations. And they said, I said, I don't know. I said, if I were you, I'd ask the female staff and I'd ask the female comedians how they feel. I don't think my opinion really matters. Do I think he did something? I don't know. It kind of feels like it, but I wasn't there. And they said, yeah, but it hasn't been proven in a court of law. And, you know, the person's worked here for so long. And I looked at them. I said, you know, it's so funny because it's like you'll make any excuse for this person to work the club. But other comics run the light by 10 minutes and they're banned for 6 months.
Yeah, it's crazy, ain't it?
So how do you feel about it?
I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, I know that, like, I've seen comedians do jokes where they say, like, I only do this to get pussy, or, you know, this is how you get a lady, you know, you got to make them laugh. And then I see these, what they call them, like, chuckle fuckers.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, we'll follow these guys to the back of the comedy club, up the stairs, down the street.
That never happens to me.
That never happens to you?
No,
I know why that doesn't happen to you.
Please tell me, because I'd like to put an end to this. I want it to happen.
Because it seems like,
Bobby Lee said I was unfuckable. He laid out why.
Why did he say you were unfuckable?
I don't know, because I'm so intense. But here's the truth about me.
It seems like you're angry.
Okay, I'm not. And some women like that, perhaps. But yeah, I'm there doing a job. I finish the job. I go home. Mm-hmm. I like to keep everything separate. That's why. Okay, perhaps one of the reasons my comedy career hasn't excelled to the point that it could have is I didn't hang out. That's why I'm not part of the comedy store and this podcasting community.
Hanging out is very different than going on a rendezvous with a chuckle fucker.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So you probably don't have herpes. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. This podcast is taking a turn.
I'm just saying, probably don't have herpes. Yeah. I feel like when I see guys leave with the, you know, some girl that came and said, oh my God, you're so funny. I love to hang out with you. And he's like, oh, come with me to this bar. I'm like, he has herpes.
Are there women doing comedy just to get laid?
No. Not that I know of. I mean, I know there are women that will do things to get things or whatever, or they do things thinking this is going to advance them, and it doesn't. But
I'm going to tell you something. It's going to shock you. When people say to me, you went into comedy to meet women, that never occurred to me from a very young age.
Because you think you're ugly?
No. From a very young age, I made people laugh, mm-hmm. and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I would weave these fantastical stories, mm-hmm. and I would captivate tables of adults.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. And so I went into comedy because I enjoy seeing people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never did it to meet people. But I guess that does go on. It surprises me that women aren't doing it to, you know.
Because you could get raped.
Mm.
Bro, it's not safe.
Yeah.
It's not safe. I've done shows where, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, in my mind,
yeah.
I'm thinking, like, oh, this there's some cute guys here. I could meet I could meet my future husband here. Yeah. Who knows what could happen, right? And then creepolas come up, you know, these weird creepy dudes, you know, they're like, I don't know, they don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. Or like I've done shows where I've come back, like did the show, it was all great, get back to my room and the promoter is in my bed, butt naked. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Where did
here?
That happen?
What in Seattle? And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this?
I'm in Seattle next weekend, everybody.
I am. I'll be in Seattle the first weekend of February.
There you go.
At the Super Funny Comedy Club. But yeah, I'm like, what the hell is this? Yeah. You know? And I just turn right around, go to the front desk, like, yo, there's a butt naked man in my room that I did not want in my room. I don't know why is he in there. Who let him in? And they're like, oh, that's not your husband? No, that's not my husband.
Right.
Like, go, you send somebody up there, get all my stuff out of there and give me a new room.
Wow.
I'm like, what the fuck? And let's call the police.
Did you call the police?
No.
No. So it, what?
Because then I start thinking like,
I always imagine
police report. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just never do anything with this promoter ever again.
Is this promoter still working?
I have no idea.
You know, I always thought coming up, I would stay in, there were some shady hotels I had to stay in, shady clubs, shady towns. And I always thought if I was a woman, I would feel uncomfortable. I think it is a very difficult system for women to navigate.
It's dangerous. And then you have these comedians that are like, you're like, oh, can I go on the road with you? And then like, if you're opening your legs, you can go on the road with me. Like, what's the point of me taking you on the road if you're not fucking? Wow. And then it's like, well, I don't want to have to fuck to perform. And some female comics is cool with that.
Yeah.
I ain't cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you my body and my gifts.
Yeah.
And we not married. What the fuck?
Like, no. So to answer your question, I don't know. I've never hung out with comics. It's not like I have a group of friends. I'm not part of the Comedy Store and the podcasting community that comes out of there or the Laugh Factory. Notice I do my shows and I usually go home. Sometimes I have some friends meet up and then we get some drinks. So I don't know, but I know that it
what
does
do you mean
make
you
me
don't hang out with comics. In the beginning of this conversation, you said you was playing basketball.
Yes.
With a bunch of comedians.
Yeah, but that wasn't
so
like the club. Yeah, that was like Gary Shandling and Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell. It was like
A bunch of celebrity comics.
Yeah, it was celebrity. Yeah, yeah. And it was fun. And I'll tell you something. Gary was a very good friend and a mentor. Mm-hmm. And everybody would leave the house. They all went back to their lives. They had wives and kids or whatever. And Gary and I would sit there for hours until like midnight, just talking and talking philosophy and learning about life. And it's a sad, you know, sad loss of my life. There was just some really beautiful people that have come and gone that have really helped shape me. And I'm so appreciative of that.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And you're going to be one of them as we get closer. And I want nothing from you.
Be not fucking.
I'm going to give you my Venmo.
Your Venmo?
Yes, you can send me 500K.
For what?
I don't know.
I need to see the business plan. Go to thebizio.com and come up with your business plan.
The Bizio. Where are you playing next?
I think tonight I'll be at the Improv.
There you go.
I think. I can't tell because my phone.
No. You're at the Ruben Paul show.
Oh, at the live.
Ruben Paul.
Yes, I love Ruben Paul.
Ruben Paul is, he's so.
That's a real one. That's a real one right
Did
there.
You see what happened on my podcast with Ruben?
No, I saw some of it.
He was showing his boy around L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And showing him all the places he grew up. And I said to him, I said, I want to talk about that day that you took your son around and showed him your childhood. And he goes, my son, I don't have a son. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, on stage, you said, my boy. He goes, yeah, my friend from San Francisco, my boy. And he goes, Orny, you are so white. He goes, you are so white.
Super white.
You're stupid. You and Ruben are stupid.
You're so stupid.
You know what I love about you two is like you did a show at Yamashiro's. Like you'll do your game for anything. You're not like, I'm so famous, I'm not going to do the small venues. And I think that's fantastic.
No, I love to do the small venues because that's where I can work on my new material. You know, I've been working on all this new stuff. And
I'm going to help you.
You are?
Yes.
Right, because I recorded some. Damn it, I don't have the phone. Shit.
I told you, Tiffany.
I got some really good stuff.
I told you.
But it might be, this is what I got to figure out, how not to be so nasty.
Right.
Because I'm nasty.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you with tone. I'm going to help. Now, working with me is not fun.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit there and go, that's funny. That's great. I'm going to go, that's hacky. That's been done. Trust me. Go at it this way.
I feel like when you hear my stuff, you're going to be like, I've never heard anything like this before, and I feel mind fucked.
Well, you told me you were working on a play version of this.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, as a friend, I'm asking nothing from you. I'd be happy to help you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I'm going to be in Seattle next weekend. I'm going to be at the Washington Athletic Club doing a private show at a black tie event. Mm. And then I'm in Bremerton, Washington at at a theater, the Admiral Theater. Then the following weekend, I'm in Sarasota at McCurdy's. I love, it's going to sell out. Listen to me. It's going to sell out. And then I go to Atlanta. I'm doing all these shows. Atlanta.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You're going on a tour.
No, I'm trying not to. You know,
it sounds like a full tour.
I know, but I'd rather.
Anything more than five is a tour.
Yeah, I'd rather just do this podcast.
You're doing a tour.
I'd rather do other projects.
But you're on tour.
I'd rather not leave my house.
You're on tour. You didn't even ask me to open for you or anything.
Refresh. I'd love to have you open, but you're too nasty.
Yeah, I'm too nasty.
You're too nasty.
Too nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wash.
Yeah. If you want to keep in touch on the podcast, the email is whatswrong@orneyadams.com. This episode will be up on YouTube, on my Patreon. I put it on the Patreon a couple days before. Mm-hmm. Then I release it on YouTube. You're cool with that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You giving me a full release on this one?
I'm going to need 50%.
You can have 50%.
I want 50%.
You know what? I'd like to negotiate.
You know what? I'm going to render your artistic services on these jokes in exchange.
In
lieu of payment for this podcast.
No. My fee's a lot higher.
In lieu of payment for this podcast, you will be helping me with my jokes.
I've told you I was going to help you as a friend.
17 of those jokes. And then you're not going to ask me for $500,000.
No, I'm not.
Maybe I might give you a producer credit. Who knows?
I love
Depends
that.
Depends on how much you can.
When are you going to get into producing specials, Tiffany Haddish? That's what's next for you.
What are you talking about? I've been doing that.
That's what's... Oh, really?
I've been doing that. And you guys catch me in Seattle at the Super Funny Comedy Club.
Yeah, tell us where else.
February 3rd through the 5th.
Yeah.
And then you can also catch me in Sacramento the following month. And then the month after that, you can catch me in...
How big are these venues?
They're pretty big. They see like 250. I mean, they're not super huge. I'm just doing comedy.
250.
I'm just doing comedy clubs right now. But you can also come party with me Super Bowl weekend.
That'll do. Where's that?
On the 11th at the Salt restaurant in Glendale, Arizona, I believe, right next to the stadium.
Oh, wait, the stadium is in Vegas. Isn't the Super Bowl in Vegas?
No, the Super Bowl's in Arizona.
No, I think it's in Vegas.
It's in Arizona.
Okay, that's what they told you, but it's in Las Vegas.
It's not in Las Vegas.
Where's the Super Bowl? Hold on.
The Super Bowl is not...
By the way, thank you to Ernesto Hurtado, who will finalize and polish this. And right now, Super Bowl. And thank you to the listeners. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Tiffany Haddish.
You're welcome. And the Super Bowl is in Arizona.
Hold on. Super Bowl, where is it?
In Arizona.
Where is the Super Bowl being played in... In Glendale, Arizona.
Exactly.
I was wrong.
Tiffany knows what she's talking about, sir. Check your facts. Check my facts. Know what it is. It's what it look like. Okay? I love you, Ernie.
I love you, too. What day of the week is it, Tiffany?
Today is Tuesday.
You got it.
Yay!
Tiffany Haddish did it. It took a few times, but we did it. You're amazing.
So are you.
Thank you.